And we now have Dr. Creed to come and give us a challenge from God's Word. So you come and share God's Word with us, Dr. Creed.
Church, and I really enjoy missions conferences. I had better enjoy them. I'm in enough of them. Let me ask you to turn tonight to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You and I have touched on this portion of Scripture before, but I want to just sort of deal with it in a little more practical way tonight, and maybe a more applicable way, easily applied way. But I pastored for 22 years before I went with BIMI, and we had missions conferences every year, just like you do. And I can remember saying to our folks, time and time again, now, folks, missions conference is coming, and you need to be praying about what God wants you to do. And you can either make a commitment to go, or you can make a commitment to give. And I said that over and over and over. And then, after pastoring, I realized I had not made a true statement all those years. Because it's not that we can make a commitment to give or go, because it does not matter where you are, we're responsible to give. So it's not give or go. You better say it, give and go. Because a missionary can commit to go to the field, but he still has the responsibility to be involved in worldwide evangelization, no matter where he is. So if he's in Chile or Philippines or wherever, he's still responsible to give to reach the world. And one of the thrilling things that I've been able to experience over the past years is to be able to go to the islands and watch those people get a hold of that concept, biblical responsibility. Because you imagine growing up on an island. I mean, just some of them very small. Just growing up on a piece of dirt, surrounded by water, lived there your whole life, and this missionary comes in, shares Christ, you get saved, and then he begins talking about taking the gospel to the world. You haven't been off that island, and he's talking about the world. And I've had the privilege of preaching missions conferences all the way from the Cayman Islands out the west side, all the way around the U.S. Virgin Islands down to Trinidad, and all those islands, and go time and time again to go in and share missions and watch those people respond and commit themselves to give to reach people around the world, places they have never even realized existed until this missionary started sharing the responsibility. And the Bible's very clear. We have a responsibility to give. Every church member here at Open Door has a responsibility to be involved in getting the gospel to the world. And the responsibility is just to ask God, what do you want me to do? And it's already been said, do what God wants you to do. Just listen to him. You're not going to make a mistake doing what God wants you to do. I was thinking the other day about this this investment thing and savings thing, we come to a place in our life, some earlier than others, some much later than others, that we realize that we better start saving for retirement. You remember when that light bulb came on? Maybe you started early. Pastors usually don't start early. Don't have enough to start early. But I thought about how we, when we realize that we're going to be retiring, let's say 65, and we still have maybe what, 25, 30 years if we're fortunate to live. And so you sort of saved so you have enough to live those years. But the Bible talks about investing for eternity. Imagine how long you're going to live once you leave this earth. Huh? And that's what this is all about. It's investing for eternity because God tells us that when we give, it brings His blessings here and there. And so we need to realize the importance. And we need to plan on investing and look at it. If God says, give this, then it's an investment. It's an investment in having His blessings, His crowns, His supply, His blessing for eternity. I don't know what all that involves, but I know it's going to be better than here. It's going to be better than retirement here. Amen? And that's what I want us to think about tonight. This matter of just partnering with God in this way. Paul talks about it in this section of Scripture. So let's pray and we'll just sort of get into this section and work our way into that. Father, it is so good to open the Bible and know as we look at Your Word that we're not going to look at anything that's not truth and right and good for us. And so we ask You again tonight, Holy Spirit, that You just illuminate our minds, open our hearts, and cause us to see clearly what You have for us. Speak to our hearts about what You want to do with us, in us, through us, personally. And God, help us not to be overcome by fear or questions, but help us to just agree with You. Just let You, let us see You work in our lives. And I pray tonight that You would just open the Scriptures to us personally. Give us understanding. Help us to have the wisdom to apply it correctly. And then do a great and mighty work in this church, through this church, as You've done in the past, in these years ahead. I pray that You would make this coming year the greatest year ever, no matter missions at Open Door. That You would cause commitments this week that would open the windows of heaven on this congregation and just do some good special things. Strengthen our faith. Bless tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Philippians, of course, is a letter written by a missionary. And the interesting thing, it's a letter written by a missionary to a supporting church. So they had this relationship, Paul and the church of Philippi. And in this section, he gets personal with the church about that relationship and that partnership. And he talks about how they have taken care of him, how they have worked in supporting him, and what a blessing it has been. And so let's begin in verse 10 of chapter 4. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished." You ought to underline that. He's talking about support there. He's talking about their involvement in his life as a missionary. The phrase actually has the thought of Paul saying, "I know I am on your mind." That's what he's saying. "I know you're thinking about me." And boy, that's a great thing when a missionary knows there's a church that's thinking about him, interested in them. And I know Open Door has that desire. Your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Sometimes they couldn't get to him what they wanted to get to him, the way they wanted to get it to him, because they didn't know where he was, what was going on. He might be in jail, he might be starting a church someplace. They were not able to communicate with their missionaries the way we are today. We can, if the missionary's in the right place, you can get them in a few minutes and get an answer in a few minutes. And but he knew that they cared for him, and that's what he's telling them. He says in verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." He's just coming to a place, he says, "I've learned that I'm not going to let outside circumstances rule my attitude. I am going to be satisfied with what God's doing." I'm glad he said, "I have learned." That means there's still hope for me. Amen. We still have an opportunity to learn. Wouldn't it be great to be able to say that? "I have come to a place that I am not going to let anything outside bother me. I'm going to be satisfied with what God does." Amen. Wouldn't that be a great thing to learn? Boy, what a testimony. He says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." What he's saying is, I can do anything God wants me to do. Now here's what I want to see tonight. In verse 14 he says, "Notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Now that word "communicate" has a togetherness thought, fellowship thought, a partnership thought. And in this phrase, he is describing his relationship with the church at Philippi. He's talking about that partnership that they had. He said, "Ye did communicate with my affliction." In other words, think about what he's saying. He's saying, "You were right with me with everything I've gone through. You're a part of it. You are there." There must have been such a relationship that he just felt their presence. Isn't it great that there's someone that faithfully prays for you? Huh? And you're going through something and you know, might be a little tough right now, but I know so-and-so is praying for me, and buddy, they get a hold of God. That's sort of what he's saying here, I think. He's saying, "I know you folks are such partners with me that you're right there, whatever I'm going through." Now he repeats it again, verse 15. He says, Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, now here it is, look at this, no church communicated with me. No church partnered with me. No church walked with me. As concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You were the only folks that were interested enough in my ministry that you stepped out and supported me. The only church that stood with me in that way. Now, as Paul talks about this partnership in these two places, he reveals that this partnership comes about when there's a financial support. Now, some might not want to talk about that and put it that way, but that's biblical. You've had many missionaries come through here over the years. Hundreds of missionaries, surely. But there are only certain missionaries that you have the pictures out on the wall. You have their prayer letters coming in. You talk about them. Who are they? They're ones you support financially. There has been a partnership created. And a partnership that is practiced because you began supporting them and you have taken them on and it tied you to them in a different way. You may love the other missionaries, you may pray for some of the other missionaries, but you're not attached to them like those that you have partnered with by supporting them. And so Paul is talking about a partnership. Now, what is a partnership? A partnership is where two or more parties agree to get together and invest in an endeavor, expecting to get something in return from that endeavor. And this missions thing is a partnership. It's a partnership. It's a biblical partnership. And it is described as a partnership in the New Testament, in the Scriptures. We found last night in Matthew 28 and other Gospels, Acts chapter 1, we have that command to go. And so we have given the responsibility to go into all the world. And then he tells us step by step how that's carried out. In Acts chapter 11, the church at Antioch became the example, a great example of missions. And that's when, because of persecution, people left Jerusalem, some of them went to Antioch. They started seeing people saved, and the church was started, and Gentiles got saved, and Jews got saved. And they heard about it in Jerusalem, sent Barnabas over there. And when Barnabas got there, he said, it is told in the Scriptures, he saw the grace of God. He saw what was happening. It was must have been sort of overwhelming to him. He went back and got Saul. And brought him over, and the two of them spent a year in leadership there. And then you get to chapter 13, and we have the example of the church sending missionaries. When the Holy Spirit, it says the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas to go. And the church approved because they were ready. And they were sent out of that church, and that's the example for us. And you've seen it. You've experienced it right here at Open Door. You have missionaries that have gone out from your church and are involved in your church. And now it's continuing to happen. And that's the partnership that comes. And now Paul gives us the example here of how churches partner with those missionaries. We partner by supporting them financially as they're sent. Now, who's involved in this partnership? Who is investing in this partnership? There are three parties involved: God, the missionary, and the church. These three parties are involved in putting this missions program together scripturally. How's God involved? It's all God. The creator of the universe, the one that spoke it all into existence. He's a part of this partnership. He supplies everything for this partnership. He is not only the creator, but he's the redeemer. He changes our hearts and changes our lives. He brings us into a church and reveals himself to us in a special way from the Word of God. Jeremiah says in chapter 9, he says, don't brag about what you are, what you know, what you have. If you're going to know and understand God, then you boast about him, his loving kindness, his judgment, and his righteousness. Don't boast about yourself. Don't lift yourself up. Don't think you're something. That'll blind you to who God is. He said, you just brag about God. You brag about who he is. Imagine his loving kindness, his unconditional love. If he would love you and me, it has to be unconditional. Right? I know what I am. I know what I'm capable of. And yet I know he loves me. And his judgment, not that he's walking around with a hammer ready to plunk me on the head if I do something wrong, but he has an unchangeable law, the law of sowing and reaping. And he tells me, you sow right, you're going to reap right. But you sow wrong, you're going to reap wrong. You make the choice. God doesn't follow us around ready to punish us. We choose. You know, today, you think about it, today we are reaping what we have sown. And today we are sowing what we're going to reap. That's God. It's unchangeable. And his righteousness. Everything he does is right. Everything God does is right. And he's the leader of this endeavor, this missions endeavor. He is the contributing partner. He is the one that puts it together. He is the one that tells us how it works. He is the one that gives us the promises that you get involved and I'll always be with you. Always be with you in this. And you get involved the way I want you to get involved, and I'll bless you. I'll use you. I'll use you to do things that you never thought were capable in your life. I'll make you something that you never thought you could be. And so God is a partner. And who's another partner? The church. The church decides if you want to partner with God. Now, when we talk about the church, we're talking about the local church, the New Testament church. God put you here. And when God put you in here, he knew what he wanted to use you to do. And so he speaks to us personally and tries to draw us to how he wants us to invest in this endeavor. I want you to become an investor in this. God says that. I want you to become an investor with me. Amen. I want you to invest in something I've put together. Wouldn't it be great to find an investment where someone said, how about becoming my partner? You say, well, I would, but I really don't have anything to invest. Oh, I don't need anything from you. I just need you to agree to become a partner with me. I'll let you know along the way. And when I tell you that I want you to invest something, I'll give it to you to invest. Now, you couldn't beat that, could you? Huh? Well, God has given us already what He wants us to invest. shouldn't be a sacrifice. Should be an enjoyment to get involved. And so He says to us as a part of church here, He says, hey, I want you to become my partner. I want you to get involved in this partnership with me. I want to use you. I want to bless you. I want to reveal to you something that you don't see right now. But if you'll get involved, if you'll become an investor the way I want you to invest, I'll open your eyes. I'll open your understanding. I'll give you insight to something that you've never seen or experienced. I can remember when June and I got involved in missions. We went to Bible school, 1967. Can you believe we're still alive? 1967. I worked a job in management and manufacturing, and God called us, and we resigned that, sold our house, and moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee to go to Tennessee Temple. And we got down there, and we were just really not that much growth spiritually in our lives. But we got in Highland Park Baptist Church, and I found a job making $2.65 an hour. $2.65 an hour. We had four kids. Those kids wanted to eat every day. And man, it was a struggle to just exist. $2.65 an hour. I'm going to school and working a job 40 hours a week. And we had first missions conference there at Highland Park Baptist Church we attended. And it's a massive thing. Dr. Lee Robertson got up there and started telling us about missions, and we'd never heard that like that. And then he started on giving. Bless God, if you're not giving to missions, you're not right with God. I said, He cannot be talking to me. He must be talking to these rich members here at Island Park. He's not talking to me. I can't even pay my school bill. I'm not going to be able to take my midterms. And by the end of the week, I knew He wasn't talking to me, but God was. Amen. And June and I made our first commitment to missions. 67. How long ago was that? 55 years ago. And it's been a journey. But I'll tell you what, God has let us see some things that I'm convinced we would have never seen. That's right. Amen. Had not been for that commitment. Amen. And you know what we did? We didn't know what we were doing. But that day when we made that commitment, we became partners with God. Partners with God. That's what He wants to do this week. He wants to reach down and say, hey, would you just partner with me? It's not going to cost you anything. We think it will. It's not going to cost you. I'll take care of everything. Just become a partner. And then there's a third partner, and that's the missionary. God, the church, and the missionary. The missionary contributes. Think of the missionary. They leave family. They leave the security of at least a little bit of the security we have today. They leave the comforts of home. They leave a home church that they love and loves them. They walk away from all of that. They go to a place where people have not invited them to come. As a matter of fact, the people might even not enjoy the fact that they have come. And they go to that place. Many of them don't know how to talk there. Don't know how to shop. Don't know how to talk to neighbors, get involved. They walk into a strange place. But they're there because God said, would you partner with me? Would you become my partner? And a bunch of churches have said, if you'll go, we'll pay your salary. So you can go down there and reach people with the gospel and build the church. That's why they're going. They're going to drop the gospel in that place. Drop the gospel in that place. The gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. And when that gospel is dropped, it explodes in the hearts and lives of some individuals. And their lives are changed. And families are changed. And a congregation comes together just like Open Door. Because of the partnership they have made. Now, do you understand that? Do you understand that you have become a partner with that when you submit yourselves to become a contributor the way God wants you to contribute? And he says to us, look back in our scripture, verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He tells the church of Philippi, I'm not writing this to you because I want anything. I'm writing this to you because I want you to realize that when you began supporting me, when you partnered with me, you opened up a new account. And my ministry has been adding to your account all of this time because of this partnership. That's what he's saying. And if you could see what has been placed in your account by God through that missionary, it would amaze you. It would cause us to want to do more and more if we could see what's taking place. I was thinking today about some missionaries that you supported that I have been associated with, that I have seen things happen in their lives, their ministries. And I was thinking about John Godfrey, Trinidad. You support the Godfreys, right? Gossett, John Gossett. I'm right. John Gossett called me years ago. I was in Chattanooga, and I got a phone call, and he said, my name's John Gossett. He said, God's called me to Trinidad. Could you help me get there? Now, he did that because at that time you couldn't get in Trinidad unless a ministry there would bring you in, and you were accountable to that ministry. So I said, I'll meet you, and we set up a place to meet. And we spent about 2 hours together. And he explained to me what was going on in his life and what he wanted to do. And we didn't have anything in Trinidad that time. So we agreed to try to get him to Trinidad. So he and I decided to take a trip down there. We corresponded with a few pastors and realized that wasn't going to work. So he and I took a trip to Trinidad. And we got with a pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Arima in Trinidad. And tried to get that pastor to understand what an independent Baptist missionary is all about. And we told him, we said, he's not accountable to anybody but his home church for his ministry and what he does. I said, BIMI is helping him get his support and get through, but BIMI does not tell him how to run his ministry. He's an independent Baptist. He does what God tells him. And I said, he's not going to be accountable to any pastor in Trinidad about his ministry. And that guy couldn't get a hold of that. But finally, we got across to him. He said he finally agreed that he would bring him in through that ministry. And so we got it all set. Make a long story short, we came back, stayed in touch with him. John loaded all his stuff up, and he's headed to Trinidad. And on his way to Trinidad, on his way, his stuff's already shipped down. He's got a bunch of suitcases taking what he had to carry. And he finds out that pastor did something and had to be dismissed from the church. And now the church has no pastor. Oh, and he got down there. He said, what am I supposed to do? I said, well, you go down there and tell the deacons what happened and what the pastor agreed to, and just see what they say, and we'll go from there. He got down there, and the deacon said, that sounds okay. He said, why don't you become our pastor? So he stepped right into that church. Started leading that church. People got saved. I preached missions conferences there. He started Faith Promise. They started giving to missions. There was a fella, his wife came. Keith Lovelace was his name. He worked in management in one of the plants, and he was a drinker. He would work during the day and drink all evening. He wouldn't come to church. Finally, after a few years, he came and responded to the gospel. Got saved. John Gossett discipled him, trained him. He became the pastor of Trinity Baptist Church, and now he helps in overseeing and helping some of the other nationals that they have sent out of that church to start churches. Now, I could just tell you more and more about that, but what I'm trying to get you to see about that is that has been placed to your account. If you give to missions in this church, you are a part of that ministry. Now, I know it's maybe difficult for us to grasp, but that's what Paul's saying. That has been put to your account because you've partnered in giving. I think of Josh and Joy Wesson. You've supported them for years. And Josh has gone to heaven now, drowned. But they started a church, built a church, and I remember going down there years ago, just to give you one example. And they had this one fella coming to church. I may have even told you about it over the years, but he was blind and deaf. And of course, Joy works with the sign language and leads that, they would pick him up, and I went with them to pick him up one time, and he would walk a couple of blocks to get where they picked him up. Had all kinds of accidents just getting there over the time, but he would come to church and got saved. And what he would do, he would come to church and he would hold his hands out, and someone would put their hand in his hands. And as the preacher preached, they would sign and he would feel the sign and get the Word of God. That has been put to your account. You are a part of what took place in that man's life. That's what this partnership is all about. It's to our account. I think about Steve Sidler. You supported him for years. Steve Sidler went to the mission field about 21 years ago. He was out of our church there in Clinton, Maryland. And when he went to the field, when he went to the Dominican Republic, he didn't know where to go, didn't know where to settle, didn't know where to start his ministry. And he went to different places, looked around. The missionaries gave him advice where to go. He went to this one place called Quitasueña. Poverty place. I mean poverty. It was a place where the people would come in from the farmlands, come into the city to make a better living for themselves. And they whatever they would bring in on a moped or a bike, that's what they had. And they would build a lean-to, tin if they could find it, cardboard if they couldn't get anything else. And they would just squat. They call them squatters on a piece of property. And they would just live there. And Steve Sidler went into that area, and God said, "This is where I want you." The missionary said, "You're crazy. You shouldn't go there. You'll never build a church there." He's been there 21 years. Has a beautiful 3-story, 4-by-100 building. Three-story building. And God has blessed. I went down in the beginning days, and all he had was a bunch of kids. Just kids. But he had them organized. They were like little ants handling things. They had to set up chairs every time they had a service, take them down, put them in the van, take them home so somebody wouldn't steal them. Those kids would set things up. They counted the offering. They became soul winners. Now those little kids are pastoring churches. He started about 12 churches, right now involved in starting another one. And people getting saved in those churches. Now think about it. He's had many, many people saved in his church where he pastors. Now those churches are reaching people in different places on the island, building buildings. I tell you this to tell you that has been put to your account. As a partner in missions in your church, all that happens in the lives of these missionaries, if you give to Faith Promise, is to your account. Now, why do I say all of that? We ought to beg God to let us become a partner. Huh? We ought to be excited about partnering with God and partnering with the missionaries and seeing God do some things that we are assured of in the Bible. God has put that to my account. Not that I deserve it. It's not because of what I am. It's because of who He is. It's because that's the way He wants things done. And that's what He promises if they're done His way. Amen? Amen. That's what we're dealing with this week. I could tell you so many stories. The Cayman Islands, preaching missions conferences over there. Don't have time. Little old island, Cayman Brac. 3 miles wide, 13 miles long. Can you imagine? Used to go down there and preach for the missionary there. Those people had been on that island so long, the Bible just went over their heads. They'd come and sit because they were religious, but just no spiritual reception. I preached down there one night, and I finished preaching, and I started out of the building toward the back, and got almost to the back, and this fellow stepped right out in front of the aisle, stuck his hand out. I said, "Hey, Captain Glenn, how's it going?" He said, "It's going good." He said, "I like what you're saying. I might do something this week." He was saying, "I need to get saved." I said, "Pastor and I will be down to see you tomorrow morning." He lived right down from the church. You sit on his front porch and look out across that beautiful blue-green water. The palm trees waving. Beautiful, nice breeze. We need missionaries down there. If you're ready to go. We talked to Captain Glenn for about 45 minutes, and he told us sea stories about how he used to be on the ships. Then I told him, "Captain Glenn, you need to get your Bible. We need to talk about the Lord." About 45 minutes, he bowed his head and received Christ. To your account. It's as much to your account as that missionary. That's me. God says, would you become a partner? Would you just invest? If you'll invest, I'll take care of everything. I'll take care of everything. And then I'll bless you for doing it. You can't beat that. Huh? Why don't you be busy just asking God, "God, show me. Just show me what part I can play." Just think about India and all that's taking place in India. Out of this church. It's amazing. To your account. Haiti. What's taking place in Haiti? To your account. Now the foreigners going to Chile. New account to get involved in. Amen. Huh? This is a privileged church. A privileged church. That doesn't happen every place. It's not happening every place. It's happening because of your emphasis on missions and the partnership over the years. And you ought to rejoice that it's going right on the way it has. Amen. And you have a chance to get involved in one of the greatest endeavors taking place that you and I have to be associated with. Amen. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many folks say, "Preacher, I want to be the partner that God wants me to be. Would you pray with me and pray for me that I would not miss what God has for me this week?" Would you slip your hand up all over the building? Just pray with me. Pray for me. I want to be a partner with God and the missionaries. Father, we thank you for speaking to hearts. I pray that you would bless now as decisions are made, as these folks ponder this and pray about it over the next few days. And I pray that you would do a wonderful work, in our hearts this week. Bless now as we do business with you. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. As a pen is placed, why don't you slip out of your place and come? As God has spoken to your heart, why don't you just slip out of your place, get alone with him and say, "God, that's what I want. I want to be the partner that you want me to be." Why don't you come? Thank you.
keep the invitation going, I want you to remain standing, because I hope none of you mind talking about money. You know, it's funny because when I became a Christian and coming to churches, I literally never bothered me a minute when people start talking about money. Maybe because I never had money. But, you know, I'm like you. I mean, I got money. It needs to go places, and I need to do stuff with money. In a missions conference, in some sense, we end up talking about it. But we should tune our ears a little bit, because I don't think it's really so much about money. It's really about faith. And so money gets wrapped up in that and becomes part of it just by necessity. But it's, you know, the focus really for us, and it's inherent in everything we've been hearing tonight, it really is all about faith. In that vein, Pastor Farringer has come forward, and he wanted to give a short testimony. So I think we should listen to what he has to say right now.
Please be seated. We had the privilege of having dinner with the Studers tonight, and that was amazing. And all they wanted to know was, what's going on? Where have you been? What have you done? And we told them, you've got to wait till tomorrow night to hear the big stories. But I'd made the comment that, we've been in seven churches in the last month. We're every service, we're somewhere. And I made the comment that, you know, we haven't had a bad experience yet. I mean, these churches have been great and loving. And then my daughter, being a teenager, she goes, that's not true. We had one bad church. And she reminded me of that. And it wasn't a bad church. It was just a church we ended up at by mistake. And it was the first time I've been to a church that doesn't have a faith promise program. They don't support missionaries. And we didn't know. We showed up. Hi, we're missionaries. What are you? We got questions like, are you leaving your kids here when you go? And you're taking your kids with you when you come back? I mean, just no concept of what a mission. Baptist church. No concept. And it never made me appreciate faith promise so much. I just took it for granted. I mean, most of y'all know my experience. This is my church. This is what we do. This is what church is to me. I didn't grow up in church. I grew up here. And to see that there's churches that don't, to realize how lucky we are, those people will never have anything credited to their account. Praise the Lord, we do.
Amen. I noticed there was a theme tonight. I hope you noticed it, and Brother Ard was talking about giving through the Faith Promise program of a church. Dr. Creed was talking about in being a partner and investing. The church is God's instrument for moving the gospel in and through the world. This is the instrument that God has. And you think of it like there's so many places for us to spend our faith, to spend our cash, to give to parachurch ministries or just to spend on ourselves and such things. There's so many ways to do it. It's like having a car with a leaky fuel line. And you say, why doesn't this car have enough energy? Why can't I? You know, well, you're leaking fuel all over the place. You know, and God's people, we have to get a burden to be investors and look at it in that way. And Dr. Creed, when you were preaching, I thought of Jesus teaching. And he says this, he talks about the parable of the rich fool, and he says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This is Luke chapter 12. And then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? And I always say money is the stuff that life is made of, and I think there's a truth in that, but Jesus actually said the opposite. He said your life doesn't consist of things. And then Jesus says here in verse 21, so he is that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And to be rich toward God is what it means to be an investor. To be an investor, you could say we invest in these missionaries, but what you're actually investing in is in the message of the Son of God. It's His message. And so we're investing in the gospel. And I know it sounds like money talk. The reason we're not comfortable with money talk is because, first of all, the world wants your money for car warranties and all that other stuff that people are trying to take your money. But the other reason that money is very sensitive is because it's really personal. I've worked hard for this money. It feels like my life is made of this stuff, but it's really not. It's placed into our hands to test our faith. And it's as much a test of faith for me as it is for you. There's no super Christians in this room. We all have to exercise the same kind of faith. But we have to put a priority on the gospel. And each of us is challenged to do that in a different way. And, you know, there is no super provision either. It's in your hand right now what God wants you to give. And if you said, Pastor Farley, what should I give? Far be it from me. I'll never tell you what to give. It's you have to pray and you have to have peace and let God lead you in your giving for Faith Promise Missions. Amen? And so that's why we need to continue even tonight. Continue in prayer and ask the Lord to challenge each of our hearts individually how He would have us to lay up treasure toward God. Amen? Well, let's stand together. I'm going to dismiss us in prayer. Right now, I'm going to dismiss our missionaries to their tables out in the foyer. If you're able, please do pause and spend a little time talking to our missionaries. Atikas are only with us for tonight, so if you want to meet them and shake their hand, go see them tonight and do spend a moment talking to our missionaries and getting their prayer cards and such. Let's pray and be dismissed. Father, we love You so much, and we thank You for everything that we've seen and heard and experienced tonight. We thank You for a wonderful conference. I pray, Lord, that You would give us good health, that You, Lord, would challenge our hearts. We ask a blessing on our missionaries, all of our missionaries, Lord, and especially the ones here, Lord. We ask a double portion of Your Spirit. We ask an abundant blessing, even as we continue walking through the week. Bless us as we go and bring us back together at the appointed time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.